Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. The iconic Classic Full Zip Hoodie is the jacket that started it all for American Giant. Custom heavyweight fleece and side panels for mobility make it the best hoodie ever. And a double-lined hood and reinforced elbow patches mean this hoodie will last. Born from a commitment to support the communities that created its products. Every American Giant piece is made in America and designed to last. No exceptions. The result is durable clothing, like the premium Slub Crew Tee, no BS high-rise pant, and slim roughneck pant that become part of your life. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. And save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last year after year. Snag the hoodie that brings comfort for life. Save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20 at checkout.
What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings, and you are just listening to, although I'm sure we figured out a way to upload this to our video streams, but you are listening to an episode of Gunday Brunch brought to you by Taurus USA and Bleecker Street Publications. Today's episode, if you read the title before you clicked play on this, is called On the Shoulders of Giants. And it's something that has been on my mind on and off, but especially lately because I found out yesterday, the day before I'm recording this, that my friend and one of my mentors in the firearm space in the training industry, John Holshin, had passed away unexpectedly. Now, if you didn't know who John was, that's actually probably not a surprise because John was the epitome of the quiet professional. He was never that instructor that was going to go out there and beat his chest about how great he was, about how cool he was, and all of these cool people who he had trained, despite the fact that he was, in fact, actually that cool and had trained all of those very cool people. He was just a professional. He was a retired Green Beret, and I first met John when I moved to Washington State around 2010. I took a class at Insights Training Center, where he was training at the time, and he was the instructor. It was their intensive handgun skills class. I took it as a way to warm up for the shooting season that I was very deeply involved with at the time. And the class was phenomenal. It remains to this day one of the best handgun classes I have ever taken. And that's because of the quality of instruction that I received from John. It was phenomenal. It was, again, it was without a doubt one of the best pistol classes that I've ever taken. And I remained friendly with John after that. We shot together a few times. We trained together. I would see him at events like Rangemaster and that sort of thing. I would see him around Washington as well while I lived there. And there were a couple of times where he provided me with really good advice and really good direction for my firearms career. And I am eternally grateful to him for that. And I am deeply saddened by his loss, deeply saddened by his passing, because it's such a loss for the firearms community in general. And it got me thinking about two things. And the first thing is, you know, the title of the episode, right? We stand on the shoulders of giants. And because we do, you know, everything that we do in this industry, we do because someone did something to build this foundation for us, right? And I think, especially in the internet era, we often have a hard time acknowledging that. There are a lot of creators, a lot of, I would say, even instructors out there who really struggle with the ability to acknowledge the contributions and the foundations that were built by the people that came before us. You know, I tell this story in my revolver classes, and you've probably heard me tell it on a podcast or something before, but I reload my revolver in a way that's fairly unusual for revolver reloads, right? I retain the gun, unlike Jerry Mitchell-Leck and unlike the FBI method, I retain the revolver in my strong hand and use my weak hand to you put the speed loaders in, right? And it's something that I've been doing for a very, very long time. And for the longest time, I thought that it was something that I had just sort of figured out myself, right? I was like, yeah, this makes sense for someone who started shooting semi-automatic pistols and transitioned to revolvers as a way to reload the gun. And I thought I'd kind of just figured this out on my own. Fast forward many, many years later, I was watching my favorite Dirty Harry movie, Magnum Force, and during the famous Hogan's Alley scene, the bad guys, who are running Colt Pythons with Safariland Comp 2 loaders, reload their guns exactly the way I had been reloading my gun. It turns out I hadn't figured something new out at all. It was something that had been taught to Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies and LAPD officers, and it was a known and accepted way to reload a revolver quickly in the 1960s and 1970s, and that's how it made its way into that movie because the technical consultants for that movie were very, very good. But I didn't know about that because all of the guys who taught that reload, all of the guys who had worked that technique and then taught it to these dudes who were on the movie are dead, and they don't have YouTube channels. So there was no way for that information to get transferred to me. Now, the minute I figured that out, I acknowledged that, hey, this is not a thing that I invented, but it's an example of how there really isn't actually a lot of new stuff, right? But then that raises the question of how much acknowledgement do you need to do as an instructor in a class? Or how much, hey, I learned this from so-and-so needs to happen? Because I think some things have sort of permeated the consciousness, right? Like it's, you know, drawing the gun, lining up the sights, pressing the trigger, a lot of that stuff is all very much, it's just out there. You don't really need to acknowledge who your instructor was that taught you the fundamentals of marksmanship. But where I think it does become important is when you're talking about very specific techniques or very small things that you do that may be unique or different, and if you did learn them from someone else or if you just figured them out on your own, that's where you need to make that acknowledgement, right? Like when I am setting up to shoot a drill, and it's a static single target drill, I will position my non-dominant foot slightly forward, and then I will point my toe inboard slightly past the center line of the target, right? So like my left foot, I will point my toe slightly to the right past the center line of the target. And what that does is it helps keep me from overdriving the gun to the left when I'm drawing the gun. I learned that from Scott Jedlinski. I don't know who he learned it from or if he thought it up himself, but that's where I learned it. And so whenever I talk about that, I feel like it's important for me to make that acknowledgement. I think those acknowledgements are just as important as well if you're a content creator. I feel a great debt of gratitude to the writers that mentored me along in the early stages of my career. And when we talk about, you know, people that were mentors to me like John Holshin or writing mentors to me like Richard Mann, I think those call-outs are especially important to acknowledge because very rarely do you have a content creator who just popped up and just, you know, did it all on their own and they had no influences, they had no mentorship, right? And even if nobody took you under the wing, everybody was influenced by somebody. And again, it's kind of important, I think, to call that out, to say, hey, I was inspired by, I started creating content because of. And I think that's important because it helps preserve the legacy of this space, right? It helps preserve the information and the timeline and the flow of that information from, you know, the fountains on high all the way down through to where we are now. I think a particularly good example of acknowledgement is my friend Sophia, who hosts the She Shield podcast. She's very good at calling out people who have trained her, people who have inspired her, and I think that's a good model for a lot of creators and instructors to have. But now let's switch gears a little bit, and let's go back to that idea of not just standing on the shoulders of giants, which we clearly do, but something else that struck me with regard to John's passing is that a lot of these guys, a lot of these really big brain dudes who were been there, done that dudes prior to the global war on terror who, were street cops in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s and had really, really incredible experiences and have this vast wealth of knowledge to pass on. I hate to say this, but these guys are not getting any younger. I used Richard Mann as an example. He was, or is, he's an editor for Field and Stream now. He is a prolific hunter and author. He's a friend of mine. He's someone that I have known now for almost 20 years. And he was really one of my earliest mentors as a writer. And he shaped a lot of how I approached the business of writing and the art of writing. And I owe him a tremendous debt of gratitude. Richard's not getting any younger. I'm not saying that he's going to die soon or anything like that, but he's not getting any younger. And when he goes, we're fortunate that a lot of his knowledge will be preserved in the podcasts, the radio shows, the articles, and the books that he's written. We're very, very lucky in that regard. Speaking of one of my other mentors and someone I call a friend, Michael Bayne. Michael is without a doubt one of the most prolific content creators of two generations in the firearm space. Michael's not getting any younger either. We are going to lose these people at some point, and we are fortunate that for the content creators and the writers, there will still be preservation of that information, of that content that they've created. But a lot of the gunfighters, a lot of the guys that are been there, done that guys, we're gonna lose them at some point, and if we are not making an active effort to preserve that information, to make sure that information gets transferred down to the next generation of shooters, then that information will die with them, and I don't want that. And so there's two branches to this thought process, right? Branch number one is that if you want to train with these guys, you need to do it sooner than later, right? If you're thinking about taking a class with anybody, I'll put it this way, okay? The Pat Rogers Memorial Revolver Roundup out at Gunsight this year. You should go to that. And I'm not saying you should go to that just because I have a financial interest in it, but there's a lot of guys at this class that we don't know how much longer they're going to want to be out there doing the traveling roadshow teaching these classes, right? And I'm not saying that Daryl's old, even though Daryl is, a good 15 years older than I am, but I thought I would have enough time to get a class from Pat Rogers, and I never did. I thought I would have enough time to get a class from Louis Auerbach, and I never did. What I don't want for the people who are listening to this is to have that same sentence come out of their mouths, but have it be somebody who is still active on the training circuit right now. Don't be the guy who says, God, I wish I'd gotten to train with Chuck Haggard. God, I wish I'd gotten to train with, pick an instructor. Go take the class and take it sooner than later. Sometimes the guys, they just retire, right? Ernest Langdon, not Langston, golly, Caleb. Ernest just retired. He said, you know what? I've been doing the traveling roadshow for 100 jillion years. I've won every match that you could win. I've got a fast coin. I'm good. I'm going to retire from public sector classes. And that was it. If you wanted to take a class with Ernest, you missed the boat on that one. I was fortunate to have been friends with Todd Green before he passed, took a class with him. I want to take a class with Simon Golub, who has taken over the pistoltraining.com mantle and is doing a phenomenal job with it. That is on my very long to-do list of classes and events that I want to attend. So the message from this is if you are waiting around to take a class from one of these instructors, especially someone who is maybe a little bit more gray around the hair than they used to be when you first got into the training space, go do it. Take this class now, get it under your belt so that you don't end up with the regret of saying, oh man, I wish I trained with so and so before they retired, or worse, before they passed. Now we've talked about remembering where we came from, training with people before they retire or pass. I think another aspect of that as well is shooting matches. I'm very fortunate to have lost many, many IDPA matches to Jerry Mitchellek and have beaten him on exactly two stages, mind you, out of, I don't know, probably, Jerry and I probably shot heads up in at least six or seven national level matches over the course of my career and his career, and I never beat him in a match. He was Jerry. He is Jerry. But he's largely retired from revolver shooting now, because obviously he would be. He's the greatest of all time. But I'm fortunate to have competed against him and to have actually won a couple of stages against one of the goats, or the goat of revolver shooting. So if there's someone out there that you want to shoot a match with, go do that too. Get out there and go shoot and take part in this life that we have while we still have it. Because the other caveat to all of this is no one knows what the future holds politically, socioeconomically, or anything like that. So you know what? Go shoot. Go to a match. Go train. Go do that. Go have fun. And the last part of this episode, what I do want to talk about, that's part of the overall theme of this episode of standing on the shoulders of giants, is to also remember where you personally have came from. Have came from? Really, Caleb? To also remember where you personally came from. And that's important, because if you are doing this enthusiast journey, right? And this doesn't really apply. I will say this. This doesn't really apply if you are a casual gun owner. If you are the sort of guy who, you know, you've got a Glock 19 and a couple of ARs, you got two or three Glocks and a couple of ARs, and you just go to the range once in a while as like a lark, like you go to the range the same way I go bowling, right? I go bowling maybe once a quarter with some friends or something like that, because it's something fun to do. Not because I'm a bowling enthusiast or I particularly care about my bowling game or anything like that. I just, you know, every now and then I like to whip a heavy ball down an alley. Phrasing? Probably phrasing. But anyway, the point of all of that is, if you are an enthusiast, if you are a serious gun owner person who is, you know, whether you're into the self-defense lifestyle or the competition lifestyle or even the hunting lifestyle, if you are a serious enthusiast about this, then remembering where you came from is super important, because it allows you to see progress in your journey, right? I look back on my first published article was in the year of our Lord, 2006. I look back on some of the stuff I wrote around that time frame, and I can barely stand to read it. It's not that it's grammatically incorrect or that the information is bad, although some of the information is bad, and I would, you know, walk that thing back, some of those articles back, if presented with them today. But the style of writing that I had back then has changed, and it's matured, and I've gotten better at writing. I've gotten better at talking to the camera. I've gotten better at doing audio podcasts. All of that stuff has gotten better over this time. Just like my shooting has gotten better. I'm so much better at shooting today than I was in 2006, even if now my shooting, the increase in my shooting skills is very, very incremental. I am better at it holistically than I was in 2006. I'm a much better pistol shooter than I was. I'm even a better rifle shooter and shotgun shooter, even though those are definitely holes in my game, but I've gotten better. And it's really important, I think, to remember where you came from and to preserve evidence of how much you sucked when you started doing something, because it's really easy. And this is going to be a positive message, I promise. It's really easy when you get to a certain level in the industry, whether you're a shooter, a hunter, or a content creator, to feel like you're not getting any better, to feel like you have plateaued and you're just sort of stuck at where you are. And I have found that in those times, it is extremely beneficial for me to look back and see how far I've come in the intervening 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years in my case, 20 years that I've been doing this now, which feels insane to say, and go, oh, I may not be getting better as fast as I was, but I'm definitely better than I used to be. And that's good for your morale. Honestly, it's good to be able to look back and say, oh, you know what? I am a little bit better at this. I got better at writing. I have a style that's more polished and more refined. I'm not afraid to talk to the camera. I don't say, every 30 seconds when I'm doing a podcast. Being able to have that reflection, again, I'm not great with my words today. Being able to have that ability to self-reflect on your own improvement is hugely important. And also, it's important because it can also allow you to reflect on areas that you haven't necessarily improved. I, in 20 years, there isn't a single area of pistol shooting where I haven't improved in 20 years. I am faster and more accurate than I was in 2006. Without a question, full stop, I'm better at shooting a pistol than I was. There are certainly other things that I'm not better at than I was 20 years ago, one of which is physical fitness. I was way more fit when I was, 23 than I was now. So, you know, there are some trade-offs to that, but it is important, and especially if you're looking over a shorter time frame, right? Because I preserve evidence of how well I did at shooting 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago. And if I look at from here to 2 years ago, there's not a lot of improvement as a pistol shooter for a number of reasons, one of which being the amount of effort that I have to improve at this level is extremely high. So it's good to have these benchmarks, and it's good to understand the amount of work that you put in to get these benchmarks, so you can then evaluate if you want to put that level of work or more work or less work in to either maintain your level of skill, grow your level of skill, or move that level of skill over to another area. For me, for example, after IDPA Nationals wraps up this weekend, I'm probably not going to touch my IDPA gun except for when I go to the South Carolina State Championship, and I'm going to focus on building up my skills with my hunting guns. I want to be able to run these guns as efficiently as I do a competition gun, given obviously the limb facts of the calibers and this, that, and the other thing. But I want to be able to develop that level of skill with those hunting guns. Some of the skill I have from competition will transfer over, some of it won't. And it's important to figure out what is and isn't going to transfer over. And I can only do that with a gun in my hand. So to wrap up today's episode, the reminder that we stand on the shoulders of giants, right? That it's important, it's incredibly important for us to acknowledge where we came from, how we got here, and who led us and mentored us and taught us to make us into the shooters, content creators, whatever it is that we are today. And it's important for us to document our own journeys as well, so we can see our improvement or our lack of improvement. And finally, again, if there's somebody out there that you want to train with, that you want to shoot a match with, go do it now. You never know what the future may hold. I'm Caleb Giddings. Thanks for listening to this episode of Gun Day Brunch. If you like the show, please make sure to subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Get those shows beamed straight into your phone, and please leave us a 5-star review, because that is the way we boost the show's signal. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back again next week.